And now the game where we invite really interesting people on to ask them about things they're simply not interested in. 25 years ago, a guy from Oklahoma opened a restaurant in Chicago serving food from Mexico. This surprisingly turned out to be a fantastically good idea. Today, Rick Bayless is a multi-award-winning celebrity chef, a best-selling author of cookbooks, and star of his own TV show. He's a Top Chef Masters champion. I'm not done yet. Next month, he's going to throw it all away to go be a stage actor. Rick Bayless, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Peter.
So, I realize it is not unusual for people in the food service industry to want to go be an actor. Usually they're though the waiters, not the owners of the restaurant, though.
Yes, this is a little different.
So just to set this up, so you are, after everything you've done, the restaurants here in Chicago and the cookbooks and the TV show, you are going to go star in your own theatrical production this spring.
Well, I'm creating one.
Yes.
I'm creating one with a couple of other people at Looking Glass Theater Company, and we are, well, I think the best way to describe this is that we're going to do something that's like Midsummer Night's Dream with a meal. So it's all about food being magic, and you get to ingest it and see what happens to you.
So you're actually...
After you...
See, I usually have that experience at less quality Mexican restaurants. So that's something I associate with you. So you're having theater with a dinner.
I don't like where this is going.
No, you may have stumbled right, upon right. something here. Uh-huh. No, so the idea is, so this is a play. You're in the play.
You're
performing in the play.
And I'm making the food.
You're making the food in the play. So there's the play uh-huh. that's going on, and you're playing a chef in the play, and
yes.
you're actually cooking food, but you're serving to the audience.
Exactly. It's set in a boarding house, so it sort of makes sense, because everybody's seated at boarding house tables, the entire audience.
Right.
And the actors.
What is the play about? Is it about the meal?
It's about the meal. It's about, well, I'm going to say this is going to sound kind of crazy, but it's about like when you eat something and it just has this amazing effect on you. You just like you all of a sudden see the world in a slightly different way. And, you know, it also in that sort of Midsummer Night's Dream kind of thing involves circus performers.
Oh, boy.
So you bring out a little covered dish and five clowns jump out?
You know, I'm going to steal that.
By all means.
Yeah.
So are you hoping that this, like, becomes a long-running thing? It'll become like the Cats of Eating?
That sounds like the little dishes around or something like that that people are
Friskies.
Here, have a little more milk.
And you're doing this in the midst of all these other things. You have a new season of your TV show,
yes.
Mexico One Plate at a Time.
On wholly focused on Baja California, one of the most amazing places on the planet.
Right. Did you go down to Cabo?
Yes, we went down to Cabo.
What did you? Because I've been to Cabo San Lucas. Mm-hmm. Cabo San Lucas is an interesting place. Basically, Southern California, except you can get Viagra without a prescription.
Exactly.
Don't ask me how I know that.
How do you know that?
I just noticed a sign in the window as I was walking by. To some more authentic Mexican experience.
Uh-huh, right.
But that would be...
Yeah. That'd be like,
I'm imagining that.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Was that authentic? That donkey show?
Yeah,
and
no.
Donkey.
That's Tijuana.
No,
your great innovation 25 years ago and going strong was to show to Chicago and America, eventually the world, that Mexican cuisine can be very, very good. But surprisingly, despite your best efforts, you have not yet killed Taco Bell.
No.
No.
No, I think they're going stronger
well,
than ever.
Well, and this is why, because they have a level of innovation that I'm not sure that you, sir, can match. So we've actually looked at the latest Taco Bell menu, and we want to see.
No.
I just want to throw these things at you, see if you have a response. For example,
yes,
this is why they're winning, okay?
Okay.
All right, I want to see if you can do better than this. For example, you go into Taco Bell, Doritos Locos Tacos. That is a Taco Supreme, ground beef, all the fixings, but the shell is made from nacho cheese Dorito substance. Beat that!
This is like
another
language. I've never even heard of these things. What is
but
that?
Wait a minute, isn't Doritos traditional Spanish?
Si, son Doritos.
Si, son Doritos.
How about this? How about the Crunchwrap Supreme? That's beef, nacho cheese, wrapped up and grilled, quote, for maximum portability. So, all right, Rick Bayless.
You know,
that's like everything I cook. Maximum portability.
That's exactly my problem. I haven't focused enough on portability.
Exactly. I mean, because you need something while you eat and tweet at the same time. Eat and tweet.
It's got to have a handle on it, you see.
Slightly more seriously, because you are so well-known and successful in your field, we're assuming this is like anything else, that you got these young guys coming up to you and like trying to win you over. So how do you deal? What do you do when the food's terrible?
I always have a good time. Okay,
really?
So that's what I can always say. So I've just had the best time here this evening.
Yeah. Really?
If you say that when you leave here today, we'll know.
Yes, it was so nice to be here.
Really?
It's like when your friend gives you his manuscript to read.
Imagine, I'm going to test. So I've just cooked something for you, and if God knows if I were ever be so foolish as to try to cook something for you, this would happen. And I'd say it would be awful. And I'd say, so, did you enjoy your lunch? And you would say,
oh, Peter, thank you so much. This was such a great time. Did you notice how easily that came out?
That was really good.
I'm really practicing that.
I know.
Golden Globe.
Have you ever been in a situation where something is so awful you actually have trouble eating it? You're like, how can I slip this into my napkin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I try to go to the restroom and then sneak out the front door. Oh, did I not say? I'm sorry, I didn't say thank you.
Really? You dine and ditch? Oh my God, there's like one of America's leading chefs is climbing out the bathroom window. He left money we don't understand.
Throw money on the table and get out.
Well, Rick Bayless, it is always a pleasure to see you here. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees in a voice that sounds a lot like Danny DeVito.
Kids today know the Lorax as an amusing corporate spokesman, but it wasn't always like that. The original version of the Lorax was quite different. His creator, Dr. Seuss, was born 108 years ago this week. And in tribute to him, we're going to ask you three questions about him. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Rick Bayless playing for?
Rick is playing for Anne Orchier of New York, New York.
First question, Dr. Seuss wasn't actually a doctor. He was born Theodore Geisel and adopted his pen name Y. A, Dr. Seuss was the name of his childhood dentist, famous for telling fantabulous stories while drilling cavities. B, he was barred from writing for his college paper for underage drinking and needed a pseudonym. Or C, he was always getting teased because Geisel is Dutch for toilet plunger.
Oh, man, I don't know anything at all about Dr. Seuss.
Really?
So, let's see. The one that's most romantic is the first one, the dentist.
I think the phrase, the one that was most romantic was the dentist, has never before been said. So you're going to go with the dentist, the idea that it was Dr. Seuss was his childhood dentist who regaled him with stories while drilling his cavities.
I have a feeling I'm going down the wrong path here. But
who am I to tell you?
Yeah, that is my answer.
It was actually the underage drinking, actually. Oh. It was. he was in Dartmouth. He was busted for drinking. They wouldn't let him write for the college paper. He picked a pseudonym, his middle name, and he was a doctor, Dr. Seuss. All right. Now, he's known mostly for his kids' books, of course, but he also wrote and illustrated some books for adults, including which of these? A, the $5,000 owed by Bartholomew Cubbins to his bookie. B, the Seven Lady Godivas featuring lots of naked ladies. Or C, there's a schnoozle in my caboozle.
Wow. Well, schnoozle in my caboozle sounds too much like the rest of his work, I think I'm going to throw that one out. I think the second one.
Seven Lady Godivas?
I think set up.
You're right, the Seven Lady Godivas, in fact. He did this book. The book flopped because naked ladies, as drawn by Dr. Seuss, just aren't very sexy, if you can imagine. He had a lot of skills. Erotica? No. Last question. Dr. Seuss tried to make his kids' books a little more edgy as well. For example, his classic early reader, Hop on Pop, originally included what word? A, contraceptive. B, concubine. Or C, Nixon.
Oh, wow. That's hard. Well, doesn't sort of concubine sort of has that Seuss feel to it.
I could kind of imagine
another
that
sentence
character.
That's never been said. I've told you how much I enjoy your food. I think over the years I've mentioned that to you, so I feel like I owe you.
Okay, so it's not concubine. I'm gonna say Nixon. No, I'm gonna say contraceptive.
Yes, very good. It's contraceptive.
Well played.
The verse originally went, "When I read, I am smart. I always cut whole words apart. Constantinople, Timbuktu, contraceptive, kangaroo." Seuss said he just wanted to make sure his editor, Bennett Cerf, was paying attention. And he was. Carl, how did Rick Bayless do in our quiz?
Rick had two correct answers there, Peter, so he wins for Anne Orchier.
So, Rick, how did you enjoy yourself?
I had the best time.
Well done. Rick Bayless is an award-winning chef, and he's the co-creator and star of Cascabel, opening March 21st at the Looking Glass Theater here in Chicago. Rick Bayless, thank you so much for being with us again. Rick Bayless, ladies and gentlemen.
From the snow-capped mountains to the coral shores, you're the only one my heart adores. You've only got three competitors, tacos, enchiladas, and...